Open your Bible to Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is a very precious psalm. Psalm 139. And the title of today's sermon is Wonderfully Made. Or maybe more completely, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. Now, I want someone who is a good reader, you know, because we are going to read from verse 1 to 18. Psalm 139, verse 1 to 18. You are reading from the New King James Version. Psalm 139, verse 1 to 18. Sean, thank you for that, volunteering. Psalm 139, verse 1 to 18. Please follow in your Bible, New King James Version.
O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even though your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet there are none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
Amen. Thank you. That was very wonderfully read. You see, verse 14 says, I will praise you, for I am what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. In Genesis chapter 1, God said to himself, that's Elohim. So I say Elohim is plural. Hell is the Hebrew word, word for God. Elohim is just the plural of God, because it's not just one, it's three in one. Unity, yeah? Is not singleness. Unity is harmony, perfect harmony. So when we say unity is not singleness. Unity is perfect harmony. So God is just a model of perfect harmony. The Father, the Son, and Spirit. No contradiction. No competition. You're working together for just one purpose. Amen. As God said in Genesis 1, he said, let us make man. Yeah? In our own image. And you see, when God was saying that, man, yeah, is singular. In that statement, man included both the male and the female. It's a male and female he created there. Amen? And there's a reason why when God made man, he made him just Adam, not Adam and Eve. Amen? Because they are one. Amen. It's one. And everybody that ever lived came from Adam. That's why you cannot believe in evolution. Evolution told you that people have been dying before Adam was made. Because we can calculate the years from Adam till now. It is all in the Bible. The years that they all lived can be added together. And you come to about roughly 6,000 years. So if you believe in the Bible, and the Bible tells you that the first man is Adam, you can't believe in evolution. Amen? Everyone came from Adam, including Eve. Hello? Everyone what? Came from Adam, including Eve. So it's one race. It's what? There's no two races. It's one. Amen? We are one race. We are diverse. Yeah? Different ethnicities, different cultures, different skin color, hair type, whatever, but it's what? One race. In fact, I was listening to something during the week and it's amazing. That's the same reason why a husband and a wife can have children, but they all look what? Differently. Yeah? You're still taken from the same pool. Amen? So in Adam and Eve, you have all the diversities. And it differentiates over 6,000 years to produce all different people living. But even your children look like you, but yet they look different. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But God, he made man in his own image and after his own likeness. You are not an animal. You are much more. Say with me, I'm not an animal. I'm much more. Your life is not just about, you know, meeting your physical needs. Amen? You are much more. You are spiritual. Bible says God is a spirit. So first and foremost, if God, open there, Genesis, open to Genesis. We're looking at the topic, wonderfully made. You see, you can't be wonderfully made if it didn't come from God. If you are a product of accident, you are not wonderfully made. You are a disaster going to happen somewhere. Is that not the meaning of accident? What's the meaning of accident? Any meaning of accident? Anybody? What does accident mean? Unintention? Anyone? Accident? Unexpected? Anyone? Mistakenly? Any more definitions? Where's my second? Where is it hiding? There, yes. Yes? Another word comes to my mind is mishap. Any other word for accident? Amen? Say with me, I'm not a product of an accident. Now listen, there are people that come into this world that they were not planned to come. Yeah? Like the parents did not plan it. Yeah? There was no plan. But for God to permit you to exist, there is a plan. Listen to me. You can't exist if God did not permit you. Please, let me try to explain that again. The circumstances of your birth may not have been planned or expected, but God permitted you to come. Whichever way you came in, you know, sometimes you come into a family and you like your family, but sometimes some other people come to a family that they don't like. They had a very unpleasant childhood or a pleasant experience, or their family has not been kind to them. Yeah? But God permitted you to come in to this world. He has a plan for you. Look at what we read in Psalm 139. He says, how precious are your thoughts towards me? How great is the sum of them? If I should count them. I think that's verse 17 or 18. Psalm 139. Sorry, I'm taking you back and I'll bring back Genesis. It says, how precious are your thoughts towards me? How great is the sum of them? If I should count them. Yes, what are they? Anybody there? Psalm 139? They are more in number than the sand. Let me ask you a question. Anybody estimate for me the grains of sand we have on the seashore? Can you give me an estimate of how many are there? Just can guess. Like, if we count all the sand on all the shores, yeah, seashores around this world, how much grains of sand are there? You can check your Google. Really, you get an answer. Yes, check.
Says 7.5 sextillion, and a sextillion is 17 zeros after 75.
Wow. Amen. Let me just round it up for you. That's how many zeros? 17. I'll round it to 18. Yeah? It's billion of billion. A billion is 10 raised to the power 9. So a billion of billion is 10 raised to the power 18. Yeah? Of course, an estimate. But I want to show you something. There's something I'm taking you somewhere. Let me ask you another question. This one should be easier. How many stars do you have in the sky? Yes, you can search your Google again if you don't know it. The answer will come out. Check. So let me give you a clue. Stars exist in galaxies. So the clue is how many galaxies and how many stars in the galaxy. Search it. Let me try order first before I get here.
200 billion trillion.
Okay. Do you want to say something?
I'm going to say the same as his hand.
Yeah. So let me explain. So there are about a billion galaxies in the universe. Please check it. Just check it out. How many galaxies? About a billion galaxies. And a galaxy contains about a billion stars. Check it up. So the stars in the universe is what? Billions of what? Billions. That is why it is. So God calls Abraham. The first time God tells him, he says, your descendants will be as the sand of the seashore. Yeah? And then later, after God had told him to sacrifice Isaac and he had, you know, he obeyed. Of course, he didn't sacrifice. God was testing him. He said, your descendants will be like the stars of what? He's telling you the same. Billion or what? Or billions. I don't know if you are following what I'm trying to explain to you. That God himself is a mathematician. He's communicating a fact to Abraham in two ways. Sand of the sea and stars of the sky. Billions of what? Of billions. Amen? Now let me ask you a question. Anybody know the population of Israel today? What's the maximum population of Israel? What's the maximum population that the nation of Israel has ever been in its biggest number? Search it. What's the maximum population of Israel ever?
9.4 million.
Yeah? Let's even be generous. Let's round it to 50 million. Amen? Is that what God promised Abraham? What did God promise Abraham? Billions of what? Of billions. Now, let me ask another question. What's the maximum population the world has ever been? See? It's current, isn't it? The current population is the maximum that's ever been. Am I right? I don't know. You don't know where I'm going. For God's promise for Abraham to be true, his descendants are not just Jews. Amen. Even the whole world today cannot fulfill that promise. If we count the number of people that have ever lived, now go and check these facts. Number of people that have ever lived from Adam till now. Yeah? You cannot exceed 500 billion. Even if you are lucky to reach near. Amen. So God is still working. Amen. There's a time coming when Jesus will come back to this earth, yeah, and reign as a righteous king. It will not be a democracy. Democracy is imperfect. Yeah? Because you have imperfect people being governed by imperfect people. But when you have a righteous king, loving, good, just, he has to be just also, yeah, there will be peace. That's why they call him the Prince of what? Of peace. There will be righteousness. Yeah? There will be calmness. Things will start going back into order. The Bible says that the lion and the lamb, they will be playing together. Amen? You don't want to be in that time. Lion and the lamb. They say that a child will be playing with a serpent. And there will be no hurting. He said the lion will eat grass. He will be like a pussy cat. Come here, lion. He rub his mane. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. everything will go back into order. Then there will be, because righteousness is reigning. Because what? Please stay with me. Because righteousness. It's important to understand that. This cannot, paradise cannot happen without righteousness. Because righteousness is reigning. For 1,000 years, the world population will explode. It will be billions of billions. It will be what? Billions of billions. You can work it out. In 1,000 years, if there was no sickness, no disease, no food shortage, no famine, no natural disaster, how many children can a person have? If everything was perfect. No need for savings. No need for... Please, relax. No need for savings. No care in the world. There's food abundant. High quality food. No war. No disease. No earthquake. No disaster. How many children do you think you can have? I wanted to ask you, but I'm a bit afraid. So let's... Yes, come on. I mean, like, in the lifetime. Hey, by the way, I didn't explain this fact. The Bible says that the child, someone who dies at 100 will be considered a child in the millennium. The people will be living long. So basically, in the millennium, a man can live up to almost 1,000 years. So how is that possible? Adam lived for 930 years in a broken world. So in a perfect world, you can live 1,000. So imagine you live 1,000 years. I'm talking to the women. Yeah, because whether you like it or not, you see the woman who will give birth to children. It's a blessing. Amen? The man can't do it, and you shouldn't try to do it. If you try to do it, it's a perversion. Amen? If God made you male, embrace the identity. Hallelujah. Don't pervert it. If God made you female, embrace it. Don't pervert it. They are all good for His glory. So now, how many children do you think you can have? You are living 1,000 years, so let's just scale it down. Okay, 100 to 1,000, yeah? So if you are living 1,000 years, let's assume that, you know, menopause happens 50, so maybe up to 500 years, you can still be having children. How many do you have? No care in the world. Everything is perfect.
Yeah, it's about
100. Yeah? You know, by the way, if you're living 1,000, your husband too is living 1,000. Amen? That means up to 700 years, he's still very strong. Or 600. Praise the Lord. Now, calculate the rate of reproduction. Let's just even assume that every woman is giving birth to 10 years, but they are living up to 1,000 years, and those 10 children are also giving to 10. Work it out. You will see that easily you hit trillions. Amen. Hallelujah. What I'm trying to show you is that God is great. He has a plan for your life. Amen. He said, let us make man in our image. And because God is His spirit, when God makes you in His image, the first thing you are is a spirit. Amen? If you are not a spirit, you are not in the image of God. Hallelujah. Because God is what? A spirit. And I say, those who worship Him must worship Him what? In spirit and in truth. Amen? So, I'm a spirit. When I'm made in God's image, it's not just saying about how you look physically. It's first of all saying that you are a spirit. Amen? You are not an animal. When God was making animals, He just spoke them into being. Be! But with man, there was a special process. Amen? The dust that God formed you from is your body. It's not your spirit. Amen? I know that Job, when he was going through hard times, he said what? I'm just but dust. But I'm telling you that I'm not dust. I am not dust. Amen? Dust will perish. Yeah? And I've taught you in this church before. Even the gold you wear is dust. It's in the Bible. It said the trial of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes. The gold in eternity in heaven is not this gold. This one is poor quality. Poor is dust. Hallelujah. And the gold in heaven is not there to decorate your body. It's there to decorate your home. Hallelujah. What decorates your body is your righteous works. Amen. Bible says that the bride of Christ is clothed in fine linen, which is the righteous acts of the saints. That's your eternal decoration. It's your righteous work. But the gold is just decorating your home. You'll be stepping on it. Hallelujah. And that gold in heaven is transparent gold. Have you ever seen transparent gold? Anybody ever bought transparent gold? He says it's transparent. Yeah? Clear as glass. Read it in Revelation 20. Revelation 21. It's there. Praise the Lord. Say, Mr., I'm wonderfully made. God's thoughts towards you, they are precious. The thoughts that God has to you, yeah? They are billion of billions. Because if I should count them, they are more than the sand of the sea. You know what that means? It means that God has a plan for me. Hallelujah. But many times you are going off with your own plans. Yeah? You are running helter and skelter with your plans. And of course, as you are running helter and skelter with your plans, you get stress and strain. Amen? But God has plans for you. Jeremiah 29:11. Anybody have it? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29:11. Who has it? Yes, thank you. Jeremiah 29:11. Please follow in your Bible.
For I know the thoughts that I think towards
you. I know what? The thoughts. This is God speaking. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Go on, please.
Says the Lord, thoughts of peace are not evil. Thoughts to give you a future and hope.
See. Hallelujah. God has plans for your life. So we say, God has plans for my life. Hallelujah. And they are what? They are good plans. Amen. Whatever plan you have for your life cannot be better. The most fulfilled person on earth, ultimately, is a person who aligns with God's plan for their lives. Amen? The following God's plan for your life is the thing you can do that you can look back when you're an old man and have no regret. If you live for yourself all your life, yeah? When you are old, now you don't have much energy to do much. You have regret because in your spirit you can see all the things you could have done for God, but you didn't. Because God's plan for your life, He has a way of putting it inside your conscience. Yeah? It's there in your conscience. But usually, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, yeah? Ambition, selfish ambition, yeah? Wanting to look better than another person. Yeah? Wanting to feel big. Yeah? We prevent you from entering God's plan for your life. Yeah? You are too saturated with trying to impress somebody else. But you're missing God. Yeah? And what you don't understand is that you're growing older every day. Hear me? Now, you don't want to become an old man or old woman until you do God's plan, because then you don't have the energy to do it anymore. You want to do it now so you can look back and have no regret. I was talking with someone last weekend, and we're reflecting on a situation, you know, about somebody, you know, who, you know, faced in a bad news of a terminal disease. And of course they were planning all their retirement, it will look good. They've worked hard. They've saved enough for 10 lifetimes and over. Yeah? And then suddenly, out of nowhere, they get this news that they have a terminal disease and they have weeks to live. And their money cannot even help them. Meaning that you can't go to a private hospital and fix it. It's unfixable. Yep. And so when we're having this conversation, I remember one of the things said was that, you know, that's why it's important that we have Jesus in our lives. Yeah? Do you agree? It's much more than the money and the material. Yeah? Jesus says, I'm the way and what? And the truth and what? And the lie. You know, I was listening to someone. Someone said, some people like Jesus as the way, but they don't like him as the truth. They don't want truth. All they want is, what is the way to heaven? Jesus! Okay. Add it to my CV. Amen. Now, so the statement what I was saying, well, I was, that's why you need to have Jesus in your life. That Jesus is like the star on your Christmas tree. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, because the Holy Spirit, later what I was thinking, the Holy Spirit took me, he always takes me deeper. Jesus is not the star on your tree, Christmas tree. If Jesus is the star on your Christmas tree, you're not going to heaven because he's just a decoration. Hello? If Jesus is only the star on your Christmas tree, you have a spiritual problem. Amen? He has to be the very pole, the very stem, the very, very vine of that tree. If Jesus is not the vine of that tree, yeah, on which everything holds together, you are not in Christ. You've lost it. It's not even as a decoration. It must be the lifeline. Jesus must be your what? Your lifeline. You must put it at the very center. Say, if you say, I must put Jesus at the very center of my being. Everything I build in life should be built on him. That is the guarantee that you're on your way to heaven. Amen? If it's just the star on that tree, it's only a decoration. It's a branch. It's a badge. You know? I'm born again. Then you wear a t-shirt on the way to heaven. Amen? It's more than that. You have to build your life on him. So Jesus said, abide in me. If anyone abides in me, he will bear fruit. He said, if someone does not abide in me, he will cut off like a branch and thrown into the fire. Hallelujah. Say with me, say, I'm wonderfully made. And God has good plans for me. Okay, so we're going to talk about the body now. Because Psalm 139 verse 14 says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, even when I was in the womb and my body was being formed, God was there. So I want to talk about the spirituality of your body. I remember before I go there. So now, I said everybody has come from Adam. Whether you're white or brown or black. Actually, technically, we're all different shades of brown. Amen? And I always say there's nobody that is truly white. If you doubt it, take a white paper. You will see that nobody is truly white. And there's nobody that is, well, to the black. Although, some people have contested it with me. When I look at that bin and see the black bag there, I don't think I've really met someone with like that. But some people have contested it. I stand to be corrected, okay? But the point is that we are all different shades of brown. Yeah? So really, we are one race. Amen? But we are diverse. So we can have different skin color. We can have different hair type. And I always try to teach you, I say, your skin color or your hair type is not inferior. God has made you original. Say, God made me original. So please, don't become an artificial product. Amen? You see, what God made you, God is not ashamed of. It's not a defect. It's not a birth defect. It's not a DNA defect. Amen? I know we read earlier when he was talking about, you know, in 1 Corinthians 6, about different type of behavior, and he calls them unrighteousness. Yeah? He said the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen? And you see, he lists a lot of things there. Yeah? And he lists things like, you know, homosexuality. Yeah? And I know that people who have this point say that, oh, that's how God made you. No, that's not how God made you. God did not make you a homosexual. God did not make you a pedophile. But it's the brokenness of the flesh. Just like somebody, I've said 30 many times, there's a people that they have a natural propensity to want to steal. If they get any chance, give them any chance, they're going to nick something. Their name is not Nick. Amen. Amen. It was a propensity. It's not God who made them that. It's the work of an enemy. Not necessarily physically, but spiritually. Okay? So a child comes into the world and they are broken. It's not God who made them that. But an enemy came in somewhere along the line and interfered. Are you with me? And in this life, we are all subject to you are all subject to being interfered. That interference, yeah, is the work of darkness. And the darkness is around. Amen? But thank God that that's not the end of the story. Because the Bible says that this is the reason why the Son of God was manifested. So that it can destroy the works of the devil. Amen? The devil always tried to interfere. That's why 1 Peter 5:8 says, he said, be sober and what? Be vigilant. Why? Whether you're a gentleman. Who is the gentleman in this church today? Like Elvis, he's looking very gentle, like a gentleman. You know? Does the devil doesn't care? Whether you're gentle or not, he's an adversary. Yeah? He's coming, yeah, to devour. Amen? Now, your vigilance is not just physical. You know, like, for example, I was saying to one of my sisters in this church, I was like, you know, regarding my blood pressure, I was not vigilant. I was not monitoring it. That's a physical vigilance. Yeah? Just monitor it. Just buy the machine. If you don't have money, contact Sister Toy. And buy the machine. Then, if you don't like every day, just once a week, monitor it. Okay, you don't like once a week, once a month at least. Yeah? The reason is that things can change. Situations can change in your life that tip you over and you don't know. Lockdown can happen. Pandemic can happen. People can disappoint you. And before you know it, something has changed in your body. Yeah? But that's physical vigilance. But there's also spiritual vigilance. When you're not vigilant, the enemy can come and enter. Yeah? You have the best door in the world. It's a super high security door, bulletproof. Huh? Are you with me? The door to your house is super high security, bulletproof. Yeah? Well, you have to keep it locked. If it's not locked, something can enter and cause damage. Are you with me? That's why Jesus said, he said, watch and what? Pray. Amen? It's part of your vigilance. Amen? But thank God that even when you're not vigilant, that's not the end of the story. Because Jesus is Lord. Amen? He can still come in and destroy the works of the devil. Look, the serpent has struck. But with God, that's not the end of the story. That's why I love God. Yeah? It's not the end. Oh, now the serpent has struck you, you are finished. No! It will make a way where there seems to be what? No way. It will restore you. But you just have to then seek him. You have to use your faith. Amen? You have to trust and you have to obey. You have to invite God in. You see, when I'm looking at Matthew chapter 7 verse 7, it says, ask and you shall be, and you shall receive. Seek and you shall knock and the door shall be. I've known this scripture for more than 30 years. I got born again when I was 10 years old. So I've known that scripture for like 36 to 37 years. But the word of God is new every day. Amen? Why do I have to ask before I receive? Doesn't God know what I need? Let me ask that question. God knows what I need. Yeah? He even knows what I want. Then why do I have to ask him before I receive? Anybody? Why do I have to seek before I find? Is God not loving? He's not a good father. Yeah? Why do I have to knock? Like, okay, I'm expecting you to visit me. We set the time, 2. Yeah? You arrive, 2. Why doesn't the door just flick open?
I think it's still God's will for us to be dependent on him. Mm-hmm. And it's his instruction that we should ask. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Mm-hmm. So we need to act in obedience and operate in obedience. And it shows our dependency on him. Asking him, still coming for, even though we know he knows all things, and that sets us in right standing with him, and he's pleased with us when we engage.
Amen. In obedience. Amen. I like it. More? I like that. It's part of the answer. Anybody want to add to it? Top it up? Spice it up a little? Anybody? Yes.
I believe it's because God wants you to also make an effort.
Yeah, that's in simple man's language. Amen? Simple man's language. God wants you to what? Also, I wish that life can be that simple. Amen? It doesn't get more complicated than that. Amen? God said, draw close to me, and I will draw close to you. God already wanted to draw close to you. It was his eternal desire. But it's waiting for you. I think it's there. Then when you take one, you take two. Amen. Amen. God wants to bless you. God wants to heal you. God wants to deliver you. God wants to save you. Yeah? God wants to love you. Amen. But he gave you one of the greatest treasures, which is your free will. And he wants you to exercise it towards him. Amen? You see, your free will is an instrument of love. Can you say with me? Say, my free will is an instrument of love. You may not understand what I mean. But I'm trying to tell you that if you don't have free will, you can't love. If you're a robot, a highly decorated robot, you can't love. Amen? So sometimes the fact that you can walk away, yeah, is reminding you that you can love. Amen? The fact that you have the right, I'm not saying you exercise it, but the fact that you have the right to walk away. Say with me, say, I have the right to walk away, but I choose not to. That's love in action. You see, if you couldn't walk away, yeah, you can't love. Amen? Let's say another one. Like I was saying on Friday, Bible says in Psalm 118, it says, give thanks to the Lord because he is good, his mercy endures forever. Yeah? And I know that we like to stay on that side. His mercy endures forever. But mercy has no value without justice. If there was no justice, mercy has no value. Amen? Mercy only has value because there's what? There's justice. So every time you say his mercy endures forever, remember that his justice also endures forever. You are just going to choose which part you want to be on. Amen? Do you want to be it's in the Bible. Do you want to be a vessel of mercy? I think that's Romans chapter 11. Or a vessel of wrath. It's in the Bible. He's talking about Israel. It's in the Bible. That some are vessels of mercy and some are vessels of wrath or judgment. Amen? You choose. You make the effort. You take a step towards God. Yeah? You reach out towards God. You see, only God could complete the deal. But your reaching out is your cooperation. You see, when you knock my door, you are telling me that you want to come in. Amen? And that's good. I'm happy. I'm happy that you want to come in. Not that I'm begging you, please come in. Amen? Amen? Say, so I'm wonderfully made. God has thoughts towards you. God has plans towards you. God has a portion for you. So I was trying to show you that you are not inferior. God made you original. Amen? God made you what? Don't become artificial. Hallelujah. If there's a problem in your life, something that is not right, by the word of God. Yeah? Who's going to fix it? Who's going to fix it? It's God. You're not going to fix it by saying there's no problem. You're not going to fix it by saying God is wrong and I'm right. You're not going to fix it by rewriting the Bible. If God says something is a sin, yeah? Don't rewrite the Bible and say it's not a sin. You have already assumed that you are the lawgiver. Is that the problem with, you know, a society that kills our God? You see, because the society that kills our God says that God does not have the right to tell you what's right and wrong, but we do. Please understand what I'm trying to tell you. The society that kills our God says God doesn't have the right to tell you what is right and wrong, but we do. And you must follow us, otherwise we send you to prison. Can you see the hypocrisy there? Yeah? It's the hypocrisy of man. So when society sets its rules, you will break it, there's consequence. Yeah? In fact, in the past, you could die. So that society is not really saying there should be no law. He's just trying to kick God out. Hallelujah? But we understand that we came from God. And he's a loving God. If God was not loving, he would not have the right to tell us what is right. Amen? He's loving. Hallelujah? I'm not inferior. Say with me, I'm not inferior. I'm made in the image of God. And my body belongs to God. Okay, time is gone. Let me see how much we're doing with time and just pass a few more. Probably I'm going to have a part two of this message. So let's see, try to teach you a few more things in 10 minutes. And what we're teaching now is very important. So the question I'm asking you now is, why is your body important? I know that you understand that your spirit is important. You understand that it's important to obey God and trust God with your heart. You understand that if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, you can be, or you will be saved. Yeah? So what I do in my spirit is important. What I do in my mind is important. What about my body? Why is my body important to God? After all, it's dust. Yes? Anybody? Your body is dust. Because it was formed from the dust. And it's going back to where? The dust. So why is it important to God? Or let me ask you in another way. Why is your body spiritual? Why is your body of spiritual value? Come on, church. Let me try the young person. See, one of the things I can't do now is go back to your age. No matter how much I try.
I think it's because your outside body represents what's inside. So if the outside represents what's inside, then
Let me help you to sharpen it. Your body gives you expression in the world. Yes? With your body, your spirit and your soul can express itself. Isn't it? Without a body, it only be like, imagine a spirit is speaking to you without a body. Will you be enjoying the conversation? Yes? More answers. Why is your body important?
Because it's the vessel that contains whatever we are made up of.
Your body is your vessel or your house. And God has told me that you are tied to that body. You can't switch bodies. Yes, more answers. Why is your body important to God? Or why is your body of spiritual value?
So it says in 1 Corinthians 6:19 that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. You're getting very close to my perfect answer. I mean, all the answers are correct, by the way. They are correct. And they are correct because they are tied into this answer. You're happy. Amen. Your body is an instrument of your expression in this world. And God himself wants to express himself in this world. You know that God is what? What is God? He's spirit. So for God to express himself in this world, what does he need? He needs a body. Am I right? God is looking for an opportunity to have expression in this world. Yeah? But he needs a body. That's why when God wanted to perfectly express himself in the world, Jesus came down with a body and was able to be a perfect expression of God. Yeah? But the perfect plan of God is not that Jesus will be the one here all through. He actually wants you, because that was the original plan. Let us make man in our image and our likeness, spirit, and let them be an expression of ourselves. I know the Bible didn't say that way. It said, let them have dominion over the fish. Is God having expression? Yeah? So, he said, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know what that means? What's the temple? Temple? What's the temple? What's the job of a temple? Why? What's the temple for?
And now,
sorry?
People go to worship.
Yes? More? Anyone? Temple? What is unique about the temple? It's a place of worship. And what, describe a temple for me in terms of adjectives. Any adjective you like to use for a temple. Sacred! Like that. Yes, more? 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 I heard something. Holy! Even a temple can be holy, nothing else can be holy. Yes, any? It's not just anyhow. Yeah? Any more? My body is a temple.
Consecrated.
It's consecrated. In fact, in some religions, I don't want to mention names, if you mess around that temple, they can kill you. Just for messing around. Huh? It's not saying that your body is the temple. So, this is how much is important to God. Now, let me just say this. Let me say this in a way that will encourage you. For example, when sickness shows up in my body, yeah, I fight it with the same zeal. That sickness, the reason why you cannot dominate me is that my body is what? The temple. I mean, you don't get it, but I get it. And I believe, and I hope that you get it. Because if I'm sick, and I'm in the sick bed, God, how can God express himself to me where I need to be? If I'm sick and I can't preach, how can God express himself? If I'm sick and I cannot visit you, how can God express himself? So, I resist sickness and disease with that same conviction that he ought not to be in me, because my body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. But that also applies to every other bad thing. See, all the things that have been listed there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 9 and 10, they are bad things. They may show up. Yeah? So, for example, someone has, you know, find out they have a sexual orientation that is beyond the Bible. So, the sexual orientation of the Bible that the Bible teaches is male and female, he created them. And said, so this is the reason why a man shall leave what? His father. And maybe there's a reason why he didn't even say his parents. His father. And so that you are not confused. You know, if you want to be confused, you can be easily confused. Anything will confuse you. If I say something that you say, that's not what he said. He meant that. He will leave his father and what? His mother. Can you see? One. Then he will be joined to who? His wife. And they both shall become one. Then God knows that you can confuse the meaning of wife. He knows. You see, because this is an eternal being. Yeah, he's the beginning and the end. He can't double him. So just because you could confuse me of wife, he showed you that first he made Adam. Then he took out of him something else that was different from him, though they share the same DNA. Are you with me? And he called her, did he call her man? What? He called her what? Woman. That who means a lot. Amen. It's different, but it's the same DNA. Hallelujah. It's not inferior. Amen. Your son He's not inferior to you. He's just younger. He's a whole soul with a full destiny to fulfill in life. You can't even, don't try to model your son in your image. Just train them with the word of God. Give them that word of God because they have a destiny that God wants to fulfill through them. They're not inferior to you. You're just their guardian. You're not even their owner. You have to guide them so that when it's time, my plan for my children is that I want to train them so that when it's time for God to use them, they are ready. Then I'll get my own reward. Amen. For being a good trainer. Amen. That's your job. So God defined it. Hallelujah. And you can function in the plan of God for your life and be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Sometimes you feel that, oh, if I don't have this, if I don't have this, if I don't have this, I will never be happy. Then you have it. And you're what? You're still not happy. You know, yesterday I was listening to a 60-year-old, preacher. Now she wants to go back to school and study law. I'm not criticizing her. She has her reasons. But as I was just thinking about it, and this is accomplished. She has charity. She has a lot of things. She's rich. She's rich, actually. Well, I said, what will make a 60-year-old accomplished woman want to go back to uni to study law? Somebody help me, then we'll finish there. Well, just imagination. Please give me some imagination. Why? You're 60-year-old. You're accomplished. You have grandchildren. You have businesses. You can't be poor again in your life. Why would you want to go and study law at uni?
I think it's part of self-actualization by revalidating yourself.
Revalidation. You need validation. Thank you. Yes, more? No, I think you have an idea.
Ambitions?
Sorry?
Personal ambitions?
Personal ambition. Yes, more? Any other person? I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. I'm just trying to analyze it critically.
There's something that she still wants to achieve, and to get it, she needs to go back.
Yeah, there's something she's not happy about. Hello? She's not what? Happy. I've told this thing. I say sometimes I see people do the wrong thing. Then I ask them, I say, why did you do it? He said, it's because I was depressed and I wanted to make myself happy. That's not a good reason to do anything. Hello? Don't go and do the wrong thing because you are feeling depressed. When you are depressed, yeah, you need prayer. You need counseling. Yeah? You can get counseling, free counseling from a pastor. The difference is that God has called him to that role. So you don't just get counseling from head knowledge. You also get counseling backed by prayer. You get godly counseling with prayer that will give you grace to overcome. That's what the pastor will give you. He's not just giving you the head knowledge. He also prays for you and you receive grace. Don't go and do the wrong thing because you want to feel better about yourself. Don't say, I don't like my hair. It's too hard. In African hair, it's I'm talking about men. I'm not even really talking about women. It's just a man problem. Yeah? So, but, Asian air, I just want to divert, is very soft and cuddly. So, I can go give that person just soft, easy air. My own hair is tough. It's got stupid. I like to do some critical thinking there. You see, for thousands of years, people have known how to manage African air. And they survived. If they failed, that ethnicity should have been wiped off. Are you with me? Hello? Any ethnic group in this world that is surviving to today, they've learned how to survive. Because even when there was no technology, any ethnic group that survived, you should appreciate them. Amen? They had to do with ash weather. They had to deal with wild animals. They had to deal with food crisis, all those crises, and they survived. They migrated. All the ethnic group migrated from the Middle East. They were all around Babylon, and they survived. You need to appreciate them. Amen. The way you are, you just cut your hair. If your hair is tough, don't make it too tall. The comb will not pass easily. He doesn't need technology. It's that simple. Thousands of years. Okay? But if you're going to make it too tall, then you're going to, it's going to, the other ideas will now come. Yeah? Your hair doesn't need to look like any other ethnic group's hair. You are unique, you are special, you are original. Amen? Some original. God made you a man. Why do you need to look like a woman? Yeah. You don't need to. There's nothing wrong with being a man. Do you understand? Nothing. You're a woman. There's nothing wrong with being a woman. It's not a bad defect. Amen? You are wonderfully made. Function that. If you have a wrong attraction, that's what I'm going to go. If you had a wrong attraction, it's not a problem with God. Yeah? It's a brokenness of the flesh. Everybody alive has some form of brokenness. What you need to do is partner with God to overcome your brokenness. Amen? Don't say, oh, that's who I am. No. Just partner with God. And that's what I like about God. He doesn't just tell you what to do. He gives you the grace to do it. But only if you're going to cooperate with Him. If you don't cooperate, it's not going to happen. Amen? God has a solution to your problem. Say with me, say, God has a solution to my problem. Let me finish on this note. If a disease or a sickness or a challenge shows up, yeah? Even if, just imagine, the devil is doing his worst. But even at the worst of the devil, can he match God? Can the devil fight a wrestling match with God? He's a created being. He said, God doesn't fight wrestling with the devil at all. When God wants to move there, we just give a command. The person that fights the devil wrestling is who? Human being. Amen? So if the devil shows up, God, find somebody bigger than the devil. Who is bigger than the devil? It's Jesus. Yes, God, of course. Amen? If you don't know how to find Jesus, go and meet your pastor. If he's a good pastor, he ought to show you how to connect with Jesus in this fight. It's just so reassuring to know that you are not alone. So you mean I'm not alone.